It was around this time of the year, in 1973, I was hosting In the Corners, this radio station's then sports magazine, when I got the call to attend the All-Canada Future of Broadcasting Conference at Banff, Alberta. Director of radio Ish Lundrigan was to have been the BCN's official delegate, but 3 days before his flight, the malaria he contracted in Ugubamba in 1946 came back on him. I was not his first choice as a stand-in, nor actually his second nor third choice, but with such short notice, he didn't have many options. It was me or Ben Trovato. To be truthful, in those days, I didn't have a whole lot of interest in Canada, the future, or broadcasting. I looked on the trip as an opportunity to escape briefly the drudgery of the sports beat, see the Rockies, and, well, get lucky. You know what these conferences are like. I resolved to attend just enough of the scheduled sessions to pass a quiz from Ish when I got back. I dozed through the opening plenary. I'd learned how to sleep with my eyes open in the Boy Scouts. It was one of my three badges. And decided that the 2:30 seminar entitled Channel 2000 would acquaint me with enough broadcasting gobbledygook to fake it back in St. John's. I must have picked the right session, because all the heavyweights were filing into the Van Horn room. Marshall McLuhan, Harold Innes, Neil Postman, Stuart Ewan, and Daniel Bell. They had all come to hear Gregor Antas speak. How cruel history has been to old Gregor Antas, theorist of the hour back then, mostly forgotten by the 80s, now only a footnote for having blown his brains out in a women's washroom during the 1990 Emmys. I took a seat next to a seedy-looking fellow wearing an overcoat, gloves, and a CBC ID tag. He said he worked on radio documentaries and played a little piano. I was just getting his name when Gregor Antas charged the podium. That's the way Antas came at ideas, with a pugilistic enthusiasm. He laid out the technological reality we in the room would soon face. Cable and satellite would shortly have the capacity to deliver thousands of channels to the world. And this was a good thing, because the globe would soon be speaking in one tongue, the language of moving images. Cinema had established a new international grammar, one that would be employed widely by television, super television, high-definition television, interactive television. And this television would first supplant film's role as a provider of entertainment diversion, freeing the movie house to exhibit the true art of cinema. But television, owing to its multi-channel capacity, would do much more. It would educate, taking the place of the schools and even the universities. It would seize the role of spiritual guide. It would, as an instrument of the nation, bring government into our homes, leading eventually to direct democracy. Books were dead. Theater was dead. Radio was dead. This is a very, very cursory account. Gregor Antas went on for 3 riveting hours. He was a visionary, an evangelist, and I was saved. When the thunderous applause finally subsided and the hall was emptying, I found that I was soaked through with sweat. But I knew, really knew, for the first time in years, what my true calling was. What was I doing, wasting my life in radio? Standing to leave, I looked back at the CBC hobo who'd sat next to me through the whole lecture. He seemed unmoved. He was humming some tune to himself. "That talk has changed my life," I told him. "I used to work in radio, too, to this day, but I'm walking out that door and I ain't never looking back. I would have told anybody." "Yeah," he said, "radio. Just a bunch of words and music. What good are they to anybody?"